Our message series for the past several weeks is called What is Heaven Like? So far in the series, we have answered some questions about heaven, such as, what is heaven like? And the Bible tells us that the heaven is the dwelling place of God. And how do we know there is heaven? The Bible says that God has revealed to us His existence through our conscience and through nature, so that men are without excuse on the day of judgment. What happens when a believer dies? The Bible tells us that when a believer dies, he or she goes into paradise or Abraham's bosom. What will we actually do in heaven? The Bible says that we will worship, fellowship, serve, work, rest, and rule. Last Sunday, we have considered the topic, what is our eternal home like? The Bible tells us that it will be a house, a country, and a new world. It will be brilliant, magnificent, and glorious. And God's tabernacle, or His dwelling place, will be among men, and will be living with Him throughout eternity. And we will see the face of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the flesh, and be able to fellowship with Him, worship Him throughout eternity. This morning we have come to the conclusion of our series, and by considering some serious topic. And the topic is judgment and rewards. And probably we like to talk about rewards, and maybe not so much about judgments. So what does the Bible say about judgment and rewards? We're going to answer three questions in our message this morning. And as you can find in your outline, there are three. First, what will happen on the day of judgment? And second, what kinds of rewards will God give to His people? Finally, what will we do with our rewards? And so let's get started. And I was intending to give you another chart, and of an eschatological timeline. But if you do have the chart from last week, I think you will do as well, because we'll be talking about certain orders of what will happen in the eschatological timeline with regard to judgments and rewards. Some of you may have the outline from last week, some of you may not have, but if you do have, it will be helpful. But if you don't have it, I hope you can visualize in your mind as we talk about judgments and rewards and in relation to the millennial kingdom, the great tribulation, and so on and so forth. So, first, what will happen on the day of judgment? Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So every man and woman, every person on this planet Earth, when he or she dies, will face judgment. And Romans 14 verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So on a day of judgment, we all have to give an account to God. If this is the case, may I ask you a few questions, especially to our unbelieving friends who are still outside of God's kingdom. Are you ready to meet your Creator, who will also be your judge? Are you ready to give an account to Him? And are you confident that the good or the good works that you have done is enough to get you into heaven? Of course, The Bible says, no, no amount of good work is enough to save you. Before going further in answering the question, what will happen on the day of judgment? Let me consider with you this question. As you can see in your outlines, I have printed out a few things. A says one judgment view, B two judgments view. So the question that I'd like to consider with you before we talk about what will happen, let us talk about how many judgments will there be, and when will the judgments take place. And as I mentioned, if we talk about the question when, it is good to look at the chart, or you visualize in your mind, whichever that suits you. So, as for how many judgments we'll actually have, or the Bible mentions that we actually have, depending on your view of the millennial kingdom, there will either be one judgment for both believers and unbelievers, or two separate judgments, one for believers and the other one for the unbelievers. Now, in other words, there are two views to this in general. So let me briefly talk about both views. Firstly, the one judgment view. Now, in this view, both believers and unbelievers will be judged at the great white throne judgments in Revelation 20, verse 11, 15. Now, many of you, if not most of you, will be surprised to hear this, because we grew up hearing the preaching that there will be a judgment seat of Christ and great white throne for the unbelievers. But there is actually a view that believe that all of us, believers and unbelievers, will appear at the same judgment. Then again, we need to, as we hear this, as we go along, I hope that you will take in with humility of minds, and as we understand some of these arguments as being made. Now, the adherents of this view regard the great white throne and the judgment seat of Christ, which most of us regard as two judgments, as being one in the same. So, the passages we've just read, one from Revelation 20 and the other one from 2 Corinthians 5, one talks about the great white throne, the other one talks about the judgment seat of Christ. They believe they are actually one and the same. They use Matthew 25, 31 to 33 for support, because it talks about dividing the sheep from the goat. They argue that the great white throne judgment, that is what it will take place. Everyone will be judged on the same judgments. The sheep, which is the redeemed, will be separated from the goats, which is the unregenerated or unregenerated people, or the unsaved. According to this view, believers will be judged not for their sins, even though at the great white throne, but according to their works done in Christ, and receive rewards based on their works, and enter into heaven and spend time in fellowship with God throughout eternity, which we will look at it in details later with regard to what kind of judgments it is, or what kind of rewards we will receive. And unbelievers will be judged as well according to their works without faith in Christ Jesus at the great white throne, the same judgment, and receive eternal damnation to the lake of fire. At the great white throne judgment, those who die in Christ will have their names written on the book of life. As you can see the passage in Revelation 20, 11 to 15, two sets of books were opened. One set is called the books, which is the book of deeds. And the other set of books is called book singular. It's called the book of life. So according to this view, those people who are saved, their names will be written and recorded on the book of life. And of course, again, they will not be judged for their sins, but according to their works, and receive rewards and enter into eternity. So let me read to you Revelation 20 again to you. And it is good to actually put your fingers on Revelation 20 and also 2 Corinthians 5, as we'll be discussing these two passages and largely for the sermon. So Revelation 20, 11, 15 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened." Now this books, this is the first set of books. These books are the books of deeds, or works that, according to this view, all of us have done, including believers and unbelievers. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." And notice that the two sets of books, as I said, books and book. So, plural. And so the emphasis is this, that if the books were to, if anything were to report your deeds and my deeds throughout in this life, there will be multiple books, many books. And another book will be opened, which is the book of life. So two sets of books. And Revelation 20, verse 11 and 13 to 15, rather, it says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works," or according to the first set of books. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire," and this is the second death. "For the wages of sin is death," even the second death. "And whosoever was not found in the written in the book of life," which is in the second book, the book of life, "was cast into the lake of fire." So now the question is, when will this judgment happen? Now, according to this view, it will occur straight away after the second coming of Christ. Now you may be puzzled. Now, according to this view, the 7 years of tribulation is a historic event. Now, they believe that the 7-year tribulation has already happened. That means, and there will be no literal millennial kingdom of Christ. Therefore, the judgment will occur when Christ comes back. So imagine in your mind, remove the 7 years, remove the millennial kingdom. All it was what's left is the final judgment and eternity. So you can sort of compress that with the second coming of Jesus Christ. So that is one view. The second view is these two judgments view. According to this view, believers will not be judged with the unbelievers, which is the view that we are all familiar with at the great white throne, but rather in a separate judgment called the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat of judgment. It is called Bema seat of judgment because the Bema is the Greek word for a public court or tribunal that Paul used in the passage. So according to this view, and this of course is got it from 2 Corinthians 5:10. So the judgment seat of Christ, the Greek word is Bema. So according to this view, one judgment for believers at the Bema seat of Christ, or the judgment seat of Christ, another judgment for the unbelievers. What judgment is that again? The great white throne judgment. So, we already look at Revelation 20, 11 and 15, and that is for the great white throne, and for the judgment seat of Christ, we got it from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 to 11. And you can, of course, read verse 12 as well to get the fuller context. And so we will read again, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences."
And when will the judgment of the seat of Christ occur?
Now, another question naturally arises is when?
So as we have already discussed in the past week, and you will remember, I hope, many scholars believe that the judgment seat of Christ will happen during the what?
During the 7 years of great tribulation. Because there's nowhere to put that judgment anywhere in the eschatological timeline. Because after that is the millennial kingdom, and then we have the great white throne, and you have a new heaven, new earth, right? So some will say, well, probably is between or during the 7 years of tribulation. So that is the second view, and this is also our official Bible Presbyterian view. Okay, so this is our view as the Bible Presbyterian. Now, let me ask you, there's another question that probably we need to answer is that what will happen at the judgment seat of Christ? And if we believe that there will be a separate judgment, and so what will happen? So God will judge believers, again, not for our sins, because our sins, past, present, and future, are all forgiven in Christ Jesus. So we will not be judged for our sins and get thrown into hell. No, that will never happen. But according to the works that we have done in Christ. And again, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, another question that probably we want to answer is, how will God judge our works? And let me turn to you the passage in 1 Corinthians 3. Maybe you want to turn to that passage as well. 1 Corinthians 3 says, in verse 12 through 15, and it says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, one category, and then wood, hay, stubble, second category of works, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, which is the examining eyes of God, all-seeing eyes of God. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And verse 14 says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, through the fiery trials and examining eyes of God, if it still remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So in general, most of us, if not 99%, 0.9% of people will receive reward in heaven. But there is a possibility that few of us, I hope not here, I'm sure that all of us will receive reward, because I do see you being a faithful people of God, serving God every single Sunday and every single day, and I don't think that's the case. But some people maybe who proclaim and profess to be Christians may barely get saved, but will never receive any reward, and that is a possibility there. And because their works will be tried, will be examined by fire. And our works will be categorized into two categories. Gold, silver, precious stone, which is not easily burned away. And another category of works will be wood, hay, and stubble, which will caught fire easily, will be burned away. So that we will come to that again, okay, as we talk about what kind of rewards we will receive. So one day, all of us will face judgments, and including believers,
And our works will be made manifest, revealed by fire, properly like videos, playback, and be shown to everyone. And so everything will be manifested. Imagine everything that we have ever done in this entire life will be cast on the screen. And that's a horrible thought in itself. And terrifies me every time when I read this verse. And also, as it will be revealed by fire, as I said, probably what will be examined is our motives. Because the motive of our service is never known by any man but God. And God will examine our motive for every service, everything that we have done for Christ. And so all our works will be presented before the Lord as if they were made of the two categories, gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. So what do you think would still remain if these things were tried by fires? I'm sure gold, silver, precious stone, but not hay, wood, and stubble. Now, whether you believe that there will be one judgment or two judgments or not, I believe that is not essential. I don't think that is the point there that God wants us to know. So let us exercise grace and liberty in our deliberation when we talk about judgments. I think what is essential is that judgment is surely coming for all of us. As the Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, this is not only referring to unbelievers, but I believe it refers also to the believers, except that we will not be judged for our sins, but will be judged for the works that we have done for Christ. So I think that is the main point that we need to take in. So my plea to you as a believer is God will judge your works and my works as well according to what we have done in Christ, and he will give you rewards accordingly before we were ushered into eternity. And my plea to you as unbeliever is this: God will judge your works as well to what you have ever done outside of Christ. And the reward that you will receive, unfortunately, my friend, is the eternal damnation in the lake of fire. And I said this with no pleasure at all, as I said. And I pray that if you're still outside of God's kingdom, you will turn to the Lord soon before it is too late. As we have heard from the news, you know, many things have happened. And one of the questions that many people ask is, are we living in the end times? My answer is yes, of course, we're living in end times, because end times has already begun since the ascension of the Lord. And it will end right at the second coming of Jesus Christ. But are we living at the end of end times? And the answer is, I do not know to play safe, because I do not want to be accused of a false prophet. But it might be closer than you think. That's what I can say, because by looking at the signs of the end times, it might be closer than we think. But I do not know when Christ will return. So my friends, if you're still outside of God's kingdom, I pray that you will turn to the Lord and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So what will happen on the day of judgment? Everyone will be judged according to their works, both believers and unbelievers. Now let us turn our attention to believers again and talk about rewards. What kinds of rewards will God give to us? What kinds of rewards? Firstly, I would like to say that there is a difference between inheritance and rewards. Now, Paul talks about inheritance in Romans 8:17, and and elsewhere in many places. And what is the difference between inheritance and our rewards? Now, when Bible talks about inheritance, it is referring to our adoption into the family of God. If you are an heir of God, a child of God, you will receive inheritance. And that inheritance is the eternal life itself. And you receive inheritance, the eternal life, not based on your works, because we are saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, not of your works, lest any man should boast. So it is not received by our works. So that's inheritance. But when it comes to rewards, it is correspondent to our works or deeds on earth. Your rewards in heaven will be correspondent to what you have done in Christ Jesus after you are saved. It is implied again in 1 Corinthians 3, our works will, as if made of gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, and they will be examined by the fiery eyes of God. Now, in other words, your reward will correspond to what you have been building in this life. If you have been living for Christ and His kingdom, then what we have built will survive into the next life. But if we are living for ourselves only, then I'm afraid that nothing will survive. And it will all be lost in the fire, as 1 Corinthians 3:15 says, they shall be burned. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. And yet so is by fire. To be honest with you, every time when I read this passage, I must confess I read this with fear and trembling, because as I examine myself, I know that I have failed in many areas, not only as a pastor, but as a father and a husband. So when we pray for one another, let us do our best to be faithful servants of God, so that we may be worthy of receiving rewards. The Bible did say that if we are faithful, we are going to be assigned with more responsibilities. And so if you are curious about what kinds of rewards you will receive, I believe first things is that you will receive more responsibilities. Remember the parable of stewards in Luke chapter 19. Thou good and faithful servants, then rule 10 more cities, 5 more cities, and things like that. So the reward is not to have a break, but more responsibilities and more works to be done. By the way, I'm not against taking a break. It is good to take a break, but I think in the future, in our throughout eternity, in our glorified form, I think we'll be assigned with more responsibilities. As in what kinds of responsibility exactly, I do not know how it will play out, but Christ says we will be reigning with him. And besides additional responsibilities as rewards, the Bible does say that we will receive various crowns, and there are 5, and I'd like to briefly mention each of the crowned to you. And so firstly, the incorruptible crown of glory is given to those who practice self-discipline or temperance. And this is the reward for those who exercise self-temperance or self-discipline. And as I read to you from 1 Corinthians 9:25. And every man that striveth for the mastery in temperate in all things, now they do it to obtain corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. So incorruptible crown. So Paul is comparing self-discipline in Christian life to training for the sports game, whether it be Olympics or some other sports event. An athlete will tell you that all the training and discipline is worthy or worth it when you win the prize. And it's the same way with the Christians. All the training, all the discipline will be more than worth it when you receive the crown of victory as your eternal reward in heaven. So that's the first crown. Secondly, the crown of rejoicing. It is given to those who lead others to Christ. And this is the reward for those who faithfully evangelize, witness to people who are outside of Christ. When you read these words of Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, well, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? And are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming, for ye are our glory and joy. Now, every person you have helped lead to Christ in this life, therefore, will be a crown of rejoicing in the next. Just the fact that they are, there will be rewards in itself every day. You and I should rejoice. And you will find that a great privilege in heaven and be able to even play a part here on earth as we lead someone to Christ. So thirdly, the crown of righteousness, it is given to those who long for Christ's appearing. Now this is a reward for those who long for Christ's return. I think many of us, if not all of us, will get this crown, because I think all of us here is yearning for Christ's return. And 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, and of which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all men also that love his appearing. So do you love and long for Christ's appearing? And do you watch and pray and look for his return every day? And then if you do, you will receive a crown of righteousness in heaven. Fourthly, the crown of life. It is given to those who persevere through trials and persecutions. Now this is the reward for those who really suffer persecution and be able to overcome those trials by God's grace. Jesus says in Revelation 2 verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So, and also James 1:12 talks about the same thing. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. The Bible is clear about this. You are going, and you and I are going to face many trials and temptations as a believer. And when you stand up for your faith, when you speak up for Christ, you are going to be persecuted for sure. But be comforted and be of good courage, my brethren. But there is a reward waiting for you in heaven. And finally, and fifthly, the crown of glory, it is given to those who faithfully shepherd God's people. And this is the reward for those who really participate in some form of shepherding. And so 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory and fadeth not away. But I do think that this crown is not just for office bearers, such as pastors and elders. I do believe that this is given to all those people who have had the responsibility of shepherding or feeding the sheep spiritually. And in view of this, I believe this crown will be given to Sunday school teachers, fellowship group leaders, Bible study group leaders, and even parents who have taught and raised their kids in the fear and nurture of the Lord. All in all, personally, the only reward I would like to get from the Lord, honestly speaking, is a commendation from the Lord, and that is enough. And the commendation I'd like to get from him is, well done, you have been a good and faithful servant. And so that is all the commendation and rewards I'd like to get from God. So what will happen on the day of judgment? Everyone will be judged according to their works, both believers and unbelievers. Believers' work will be judged and rewards will be given before being ushered into the eternity with God. Unbelievers will be judged as well, and their works will be judged, and their only rewards they will receive is eternal torment in the lake of fire. And we also mentioned about what kinds of rewards God will give to us. We mentioned about crown of victory, crown of righteousness, a crown of rejoicing, crown of righteousness, crown of life, crown of glory. And the final and the third question I would like to address is this. What will we actually do with our rewards? We mentioned about crowns. So we were focusing on the crowns and not so much on the responsibilities that we will receive from the Lord. But what we'll do with our crowns or rewards that we receive from God? Will we put them on the shelf for display for everyone to see? We will put them behind the glass in a trophy case. Now, two things I would like to quickly point out about our rewards or what we will do with our rewards. Firstly, we will receive them with gladness. Certainly, we will receive them with gladness. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23 says, "His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant," which is the commendation I would like to get from the Lord. "Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." We will be joyful, we'll be happy, we'll be glad in receiving the rewards from the Lord. We'll be happy. And I'm very certain of that. And we mentioned earlier that even though God rewards us for what we have done, all these rewards are really further expression of God's grace to us. Now, they are rewards of grace, not merit. So we don't deserve them, even though the Bible says we'll be judged according to our works and receive rewards, but those rewards are still God's grace. And really, really is the grace of God we will ever even receive a reward in heaven. So first thing that we will do is that we will receive the rewards with gladness. And secondly, we will cast them back to Christ. Now, where do we get that from? Please turn to Revelation chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. I would like to look at this passage with you all together. Revelation 4, verse 10 and 11 says, "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that ever liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Then again, who are the elders in the book of Revelation chapter 4? And I mentioned before, of course, people have different views with regard to who the elders are. I personally believe that the elders represent the church of God. And so, but no matter what your views are, I think the point is, what did they do with their crowns? They cast them back on the feet of Jesus. After they received the crowns, they cast their crowns, they took their crowns on the feet of Jesus. So, Maybe you can imagine, I'm just probably guessing, once we receive our rewards from God, straight away we'll take it off and cast on the feet of Jesus, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, because He alone is worthy of all the glory and power and honor. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." So, we do not deserve any glory, but Christ alone. We may receive crowns, whatever crowns in heaven, but we will cast them back on the feet of Jesus. And this is exactly what we will do, I believe. I would like to close with a quote from Dr. David Jeremiah with regard to this. "At that glorious moment," I quote, "we will have the opportunity to serve, to give to Christ the only thing we have to offer Him in heaven other than ourselves. And take my word for it," he said, "we won't want to be empty-handed," unquote. So what we want, what we will do is that we put up our crowns and offer it back to Jesus and say that Thou alone is worthy of all power and glory and honor. We do not deserve them. So here we have it. We have come to the end of this series on heaven. So in closing, I want to submit to you a challenge. How you live your life now matters for all eternity. And I'm saying this to both believers and unbelievers. My prayer for you is that as you and I reflect upon the subject of judgment and rewards, we will be motivated to serve God more faithfully and be reminded that your labor is not in vain. And to our dear friends who are still outside of God's kingdom, I want to say to you this: life is short. I think there's a commercial from Nike that said, "Life is short, so play hard." No, that's not what I'm going to say. Life is short. So, make sure that you think about eternity, because there's eternity awaits you when you die. And a lot of people, unbelievers of course, jokingly say, "It's okay, I will spend my eternity in hell because I can find Elvis Presley and Marilyn Monroe and all the entertainers there, so I'll be entertained." No, you won't be. I think hell is a place of torment and isolation. And you don't want to go there because it's a terrible place. So, to the unbelieving friends in our midst, let me ask you a hypothetical question. One day when you appear before God for judgment, what will you say to God if He were to ask you, "Why do you think I should let you into my heaven?" And if your answer is, "I have been a good person, a decent person," I'm sure you are, and instead, "I have tried my best to do good, and I'm extremely religious, and I'm sorry to tell you, it is not going to save you, no matter how religious you are. And the only way that you can enter into heaven is by believing, remember who Jesus is, and what He has done for you. The two things: who is Jesus? He is the eternal Son of God who lived among men sinlessly for about 33 and a half years on this planet Earth. And what He has done for you: He died for your sins on the cross of Calvary and rose again on the third day. And the Bible says that He will come back again and be King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you're asking, as an unbeliever, what must I do to be saved? And then God's word says, it is found in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that is believing in who he is, that he is the Son of God, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that is believing in what he has done for you. He was raised back from the dead because he died for your sin. And thou shalt be saved, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I pray that you will confess that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that he died for your sin, and he will come back again to judge both the living and the dead. So let us pray. Let us give to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank thee once again for your precious and holy word. We have looked at the subject of judgment and reward today, and we have looked at several aspects of judgments and also what kinds of rewards we will receive. Oh Lord, we pray that you help us to be ready to face thee. As for believers, I pray that you will help all of us to be faithful, so that one day as we see thee face to face, that we will receive a commendation from thee. Thou art a good and faithful servant. Enter ye into my heaven, the eternal home that I have prepared for you. As for unbelievers, it is our prayer that they will come to know Christ as a Savior. We pray that they will repent of their sins of unbelief and believe in who Jesus is and what he has done for them. Pray that they will come to know Christ soon, as the day of our coming may be near. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.